For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on Unlimited Welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on Unlimited Welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply. For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on Unlimited Welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on Unlimited Welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply.
Welcome to Bring Your Own, a catch-all bookish most of the time podcast. I'm Brandy.
I'm Kendra.
And I'm Kayla.
And today we have such a special guest. If you have been listening to our podcast all year, we have not shut the fuck up about one book in particular, and that is Ready or Not by Cara Bastone. She is our lovely guest today. Cara Bastone is a full-time writer. It's okay. Cara Bastone is a full-time writer living in Brooklyn with her husband, sons, and almost golden doodle. I had to like imagine that, like, what is an almost golden doodle? Her goal with her work is to find the swoon in ordinary love stories. Cara's been a fan of the romance genre since she found a grocery bag filled with her grandmother's old Harlequin romances when she was in high school. She's a fangirl for Pretzel Sticks, Long Walks Through Prospect Park, and love stories featuring men who aren't hobbled by their own masculinity. Her books include Ready or Not, award-winning Audible originals such as Seatmate, Maybe This Time, Love at First Sight, and more. And she's also the author of the Forever Yours trilogy. Welcome, Cara. Woo!
Yay!
Welcome.
Oh, I'm so happy to be here.
Well, thank you so much. We're so excited. Yes, we're so pumped.
We are ecstatic.
Before we jump into our many questions for Cara, what are we reading? What are we drinking?
Yeah, if you have anything, Cara, you can start.
Sure. Yeah. I'm a Red Zinger gal. So pretty much. It's just herbal tea. Any minute. This is literally like this exact setup is what I'll be drinking. And what am I reading? I'm reading a lot right now, but I will say the book I loved the most over the last couple of weeks that I've read is called Wildlife by Opal Way, who also writes under Ruby Lang. It was so good. I want to scream about this book. From the rooftops. Yeah, Wildlife. Amazing.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Fun fact about your Red Zinger tea. My fiance works at Celestial Seasonings Company in Boulder, Colorado.
No way. I've been there. I've done a tour.
He's a tour guide.
Oh my God. Maybe I met him.
That's hilarious. Amazing.
I'll go next. I have a pumpkin chai latte today. You know, fall time. So have to have the pumpkin chai. And then what am I reading? I'm reading A Torch Against the Night by Saba Tahir, which is the second book in the Ember and Ashes series. I read Air by her, which is a spinoff of this series, and I didn't know it until I was like probably 25% in. So I was like, oh, I'll just keep going. It'll be fine. There's no spoilers. There are so many spoilers in that book for the original series, but it just made me want to read it more. So yeah, I read the first book last week. Absolutely loved it. So now I'm on the second, and I fear like it's going to become one of my new fantasy series obsessions. So that's currently what I'm reading.
Amazing. Love.
I am drinking an iced coffee and a water. So I'm double fisting today. And I just finished an arc of Swept Away by Beth O'Leary. I really enjoyed it. It comes out next year. And then I started The Flat Shear by Beth O'Leary on audio because I want to just get through her backlist now. So yeah, that's what I'm reading.
That was my first Beth O'Leary book. I'm going to be curious to hear what you think.
The Flat Shear?
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know you read that. Okay,
yeah,
cool.
Back in like 2021 before I had any accounts or I was talking to anybody about books at all.
Okay, cool.
So I remember that one, like the way that the guy talks in that book is so like different because it's almost
he's like a nurse, right?
Yeah. He's like a doctor or a nurse. So he's like talks in very almost like shorthand. So I remember having a really unique like listening experience with that one. So
I still think that that cover is one of the most beautiful covers of all.
It's really
time.
Nice. Yeah.
It's the standard. It's like so painterly and beautiful, and it just feels like you're entering. I mean, it's all about a flat, but it feels like you're entering their apartment when you're.
Really sets the tone. Our last episode, we were just talking about like covers and if they match the tones of books. Mm-hmm. It's very fun. Mm-hmm. I am currently drinking a hot caramel latte. It is officially fall in Colorado. It is freezing cold here, which I love. I'm not complaining. That is my drink. I was just telling the girls before we started recording that I am beta reading Hannah Bonham Young's upcoming novel, People Watching. She just announced the title, so we're allowed to say it. And I'm really excited about that. I've just barely started. So that's what I'm physically reading. And then I just finished listening to Wedding People by Allison Esbach. It was so fucking good. Kendra and Caleb have been telling me to read it for months. And I'm like, yeah, I'll get there. And kicking myself for waiting so long. It was so, so good.
Well, it's at the very top of my TBR, so I'll drop
everything. You'll love it.
I'll do it. All right.
Mm-hmm. It is so good. And I don't know if you're an audio person.
Yeah. Or,
okay. Well, the audio is so well done.
Yeah, it's really good.
All right. Should we just like dive right into some of our questions? We have so many. We'll see how many we can get through.
Okay.
But we were like, which ones do we want to skip in case we run out of time? We were like, none, but we'll try and make it through. We have so much that we would like love to talk to you about. So first, just generally, can you kind of walk us through your writing journey? How did you start, and did you always want to write romance?
So yes, although I had it in my head that no one could ever make a living doing this, and so it was always kind of a, you know, a hobby. My idea was that it would be a someday thing, I guess, or a hobby. But I was a receptionist and hating it. And one day I Googled how to make money using your creative writing degree. And it brought me to
Google.
Yeah, right, exactly. It brought me immediately to this gig website, you know, and you can like hire someone to organize your closet, you know, but you can also hire people to write for you from that website. And so I joined it, and within like 2 days I had writing work. And so I was a ghostwriter for a long time, and I was writing across all genre of genre literature. So like I was writing mysteries, I was writing fantasy, I was writing some sci-fi, but romance was what I loved writing the most, and every one of my stories had some sort of romance element. And I was reading romance a ton. I mean, I still do. But it made sense to me that that's how I understood writing. And that was the lens through which I understood story building and all that. And so, yeah, I ghostwrote for a long time, or from like 2015 to 2019. And in that time, I also started writing my HQN series, my Forever Yours series. And when I wrote that first book, I was like, oh, I just can't sell it. Like, oh, I can't give it away. Like, it felt so personal. And so I was so excited about it. And so that was the first one I ever kept. And pretty much after that, I stopped ghostwriting and started writing for myself.
When you were ghostwriting, during that time period, did that ever become your full-time job? Or were you still working your other job while ghostwriting?
A little bit of both. I can't quite remember the overlap, but for a long time, I basically had two full-time jobs. I was getting up at like 5 in the morning, writing literally. I would take a shower, but then I would like write through breakfast. I would write on the train. I would write up till I walked through the door of going into work. And then I would write on my lunch break, and I would come home at 5 p.m. and then write till like 1 in the morning. And
wild.
My husband, who's my boyfriend at the time, and he would like deliver a sandwich and be like, please, for the love of God, eat this. Like, that happened for like 6 months while I was just trying to like get some rubber on the road. And I was so excited at the idea that it could be a job. I was on the boat that could see the island that was having this be my job. And I was like, I just got to get there. And so it took, I would say, about a year of real pedal to the metal until I was able to have, I had enough clients and enough confidence in myself to be able to get more clients if I needed it. And the rest is history.
Wow. When you said your husband was feeding feeding you, it reminded me of a male main character in particular that you wrote that we can't really talk. We can't really talk that much about, but
That's I assume you're talking about Miles. From Promise. It's just so clear. Like, if God forbid my husband and I were ever not together or something, anyone who wants to know how to love me would just have to read these books and like do those exact same things. I love that. They're all like, it's all in there.
Wow. Your backlist is like really extensive. Like, I was so excited when I finished Ready or Not, and I was like, oh my God, I have like so much to like keep going with. And a part of your backlist includes a lot of like Audible originals, and we were just wondering, like, what is the difference between writing a full-length novel versus your Audible originals? Because your Audible originals are so immersive, like there's like there's just so much that goes into that production, so we were just wondering.
It's completely different. It is from stem to stern, it is completely different. It's a Audible originals is a group project for sure. I mean, I'm the writer, but I write the sound design with a sound design team who helps guide me on what is possible and what literally a listener will understand orally, like, you know, through your ears. And then, I mean, they're really dialogue only. There is some narrative in most of them. There's some narrative, but when you look at it, like how much narrative there is versus how much dialogue there is, there's like, you know, 10 total pages of narrative and then 70 pages of just back and forth dialogue.
Oh my God.
So it's much closer to writing. I mean, my editor and I, when we're editing them, we refer to it as an audio play. It's just, it's very different from writing a book. And of course, the pacing and what can happen in them is then very different because there's no filler. There's no thought filler. It's just like things must happen because, well, there's a lot of chatting about what has happened and what might happen and all that. There's a lot of talking, obviously it's all dialogue, but the pacing of those books is very different and they're very much shorter. They're like 40,000 words compared to 100 or 110 of my novels, but that doesn't make it easier to write. Like it's the economy of language has to be really, really tight in those. And when you're reading a book, if something is boring, or you're not connecting with it, your eye just kind of maybe scans, you know, subconsciously. I mean, some readers are going to read every single thing, but some readers are like, all right, I get it, you know, and they go down to the end of the page. You can't do that with an audiobook. You know, it's like everything must rivet or else it's, you know, they leave the book, they go to it, they find a different one. They leave the title. So yeah, it is, it's been a real lesson and it's, maybe like marathon versus a sprint. Like the Audibles are a sprint. They're absolutely a sprint.
Yeah.
I think that is something you do so well in your writing is like, I even wrote this in my review for Ready or Not. And I feel that way about all of your Audible originals too, that like you don't waste words in your books. And I think that is something that is so beautifully done in your books. So it's interesting to hear you talk about like the economy of words, because I feel like every single sentence in your books matters and it's, I love it.
Well, thank you so much. And that is extremely gratifying because that's something I've worked really hard on because when I was first writing, you know, before I was even published, my agent was editing a lot of my work and every single thing would come back and it was like, for the love of God, less analogies. We don't need more analogies. And so I've really worked very hard on finding the right analogy and then just letting it, you know, talk for itself, I guess.
Yeah. Do you have a favorite Audible original that you've done so far?
I love them all so much because they become something else and they become the actors, you know, like I feel so much affection for them because they're associated with literal people in the world and their actual voices. So I feel so tenderly. In terms of the writing, the one that just came out called Maybe Next Time.
Yeah.
It is
so good.
I love it so much. And so my husband is a poet and he's also extremely into sports. And so he was like my main research component for this because it's about there's a gym teacher on one side of the love equation. And then there's an English teacher on the other side. And they like bring the ideas of athleticism and the ideas of writing poetry together. It's part of how they fall in love. So basically my husband is both of those characters.
That is so cute. Oh.
And I loved that book and I loved it so much. And then watching him listen to it where, you know, some of them are like some pretty little known poets that are his favorite, like his literary heroes. And I was able to mention them and quote their poems in the audiobook. And it just like, I watched it grow his heart. And so because of that, I think it'll probably always be my favorite.
That is so sweet, Kara.
I always think of the moment in that book where you talk about how like the best poetry is like the one that's like super accessible, not the ones that are like super hard. Like I think about that all the time. I think about that like with writing too. Now like other books I read, I'm like, no, it should be super accessible. Like it doesn't need to be something that's like super crazy and hard to understand.
Totally. Totally. Yes, I 100% agree. I mean, it doesn't have to be like – Jif peanut butter, but it has to be peanut butter.
Yeah.
If that makes sense. Yeah. It can be chunky. It can be like the organic kind or whatever, but it's got to be peanut butter.
Yeah. All of your Audible originals have like really fun and unique meet cutes of like how they interact for the first time or meaningfully interact for the first time in some cases. So how do you go about crafting how these meet cutes happen, especially in the Audible originals?
It's such an interesting question because I had never really, the premises didn't have to do with meet cutes, where we would start, my editor and I would like, okay, what's next and how's this project going to unfold? The first three are, the idea was love at first talk. Mm-hmm. And because they're Audible originals, you know, the idea is that the writing would complement the format of audio. And so love at first talk. You know, that's baked in to that. And then the others have all become that because of the format. But it was kind of like how to keep them talking. How does the premise keep them talking? And in many cases, like talking on a phone or talking through, you know, with love at first sight, they're like literally recording for a project, that kind of thing. So I think the meet cutes actually like, were secondary to how do we make this work for an in-ear experience, I guess.
That makes so much sense. I just think like I was talking to my mom about this actually, because she loves your Audible originals, about how like unique the premise of each of them is. Like I would have never ever thought or heard of anybody like meeting through an accidental like wrong text because he doesn't know the name, and then like I don't know, I love like every single one I'm like, that is brilliant. I've never thought about that before.
It's so funny because it's like, how far can this premise go? Like at some point my editor is like, he still isn't asking, just like, tell me your name. For the love of God, tell me your name. And it's hard to tell like as you're writing it. Because sometimes I'll write a ton of it in one day. And I'll be like, because it was only a day for me, it makes sense to me that he still wouldn't have asked her name or whatever. Mm-hmm. But then in the reading it later, you're like, okay, you know, 5 days has passed and he's still talking to a woman whose name he doesn't know. How far can we stretch this, you know?
Right. Yeah. That's sweet talk for anybody who hasn't listened yet.
Yes. Thank you.
And then all of your books, including Ready or Not, which we'll discuss more in depth in a second, take place in New York City and you're a resident, right? So what about New York makes it the perfect backdrop for romance? And we've talked about this before, like how many readers of Ready or Not or your other books feel that New York City feels like real. Because especially because like to me, who's somebody who's lived in the Midwest almost my entire life, New York City feels to me just like some completely different planet. To me, I haven't been there yet. I've never visited it. I would love to. But like, how do you go about crafting that? And why New York?
Oh, man. Are either of you New Yorkers?
Okay. No, I've been, a few times.
Okay. I've never been either. Yeah.
New York is a, how do I put this? Oh, you know what? I actually wrote this into, not Promise You Sunshine, but the book that's coming out after. I just turned in my first draft of that. And
I'm so excited.
It is world salad. It's like all these different components from across the entire world are tossed into one bowl and then like tossed together. And I find that deeply, deeply interesting that everyone is finding a common way to live from completely different hemispheres of all aspects of life. There's a lot of natural tension in New York City. And I don't mean that in a negative way necessarily. It's just like, in terms of how do I make something happen in a story, sometimes it can be as simple as go outside in New York City and something will happen. Something unexpected will happen. My sister-in-law always tells, she's from Boston, but she always tells the story of like, she was sitting outside in New York City at a cafe, and then totally unbidden, like this man came by with a tray of chicken wings and then just dumped them on the table. And she's like, what is that? What city does that happen? Right? And the truth is, I don't know what that is. Only New York knows what that is. And like my writing about New York is a love letter to New York, obviously, but it is also like a constant churning of like trying to understand what it means to live in New York and who lives here and what is that thing that I witnessed the other day. Like, why did the man put the chicken wings on the table is like maybe the answer to your question. I'm trying to figure that out in every single one of my stories.
Kendra was the first of the three of us to read Ready or Not. She was like, New York feels like a character in that book. Like, it just feels so real. And I thought that was the perfect way to describe how you write New York.
The New York in particular in Ready or Not is really personal to me because I am a Midwesterner. I was born in Michigan like Eve and then moved here and then have spent kind of the majority of my time here convincing everyone that I'm going to stay, that I just loved it so much. And it is my home, and it's very different than Michigan. But I think her journey of like having family members trying to talk her into moving home, especially when she was pregnant. That was me working through that in my own life and realizing that, no, it's expensive. It's loud. It's stinky. It's the only place I want to raise my kids.
Yeah. I also love that, like, all the people that you show in a lot of books I read about New York, they're like actors or like doctors, or they're doing something that like, oh, that can only take place in New York. But a lot of your characters are like normal, average, everyday, like middle class working individuals. And I think that's what helps New York feel even more real. Like, it's like, oh, this is like accessible and attainable.
Right. Mm-hmm. Well, I take that as a huge compliment because I, as a writer, I like will literally Google things like, what jobs do people have? Because I'm like, I don't know. I think that I also end up Googling things like things that people do because I'm like, what? I don't want them to like go to the store again. Mm-hmm. You know, they need to do something else. So how do I? Yeah. So like, they can't be architects. They can't be doctors. Yeah. Like, these are fake jobs.
Yeah.
Very few people actually have these jobs. I mean, like, real jobs, you know?
Yeah. Right.
And speaking of Ready or Not, for those of our listeners who haven't read it, which I feel like most people have, but can you elevator pitch Ready or Not for those who have not read it yet?
Oh boy, I am so
bad. I'll just read the back. I have it right here. I'll just read the back. No, I'm just kidding.
My elevator pitch is 110,000 words. Here we go. Plucky gal gets pregnant accidentally and has to decide how to survive.
There you go.
That was perfect. Literally like sums it up really well. Yeah. Can you walk us through like what inspired the story?
Yeah, totally. I was pregnant with our first and was really humbled at, first of all, how hard it is. I felt like I had no idea that it was gonna be that taxing, you know, physically and emotionally to be pregnant. And I was pregnant in, you know, a circumstance where I was really, really supported and I didn't have a lot of questions about my future. I kind of knew who I was having the baby with and what our lives were generally going to look like. So I was trying to imagine a different circumstance and how mind-boggling and taxing and how that would feel. It was a period of extreme growth for me where I went from, I mean, that's like a big journey in the book, but like I was the center of my own world. And then I was pregnant and I wasn't. And there was loss that came with that. And there was excitement and there was, yeah, real growth that came with that. It also was a really romantic time through all of the grossness that comes with pregnancy. And like the, I just was like appalled at so many things that were happening to me while I was pregnant. And I just felt like really loved and supported, obviously by my husband, who was, you know, really loving and supportive during that time, but also by so many unexpected people, which is what happens to Eve in that book. And by New York a lot. New York really, my experience was, for the most part, I was really well taken care of out when I was out in the city, when I was showing. Before you're showing is actually when you need like the most help, but no one knows you're pregnant. And so you're just like, you know, not getting a seat on the train and stuff like that. And then, you know, it is what it is. But yeah, so I, the genesis of that book was my first was 2 weeks late. And so the night of my due date, I got the idea for the story. And so I got up out of bed. I couldn't sleep because I was hugely pregnant. And I wrote from like midnight to 4 a.m. And then I was like, well, maybe the baby will come tomorrow night. And so I did it again and again and again for the 2 weeks. And I got like the first four chapters written. And then, of course, I didn't write again for a year. And then I think I was like 14 months postpartum or something like that when we got pregnant with our second. And I knew then that I was going to have like 5 or 6 weeks until I was sick as a dog. And so I was like, all right, this is the moment. I got to finish this book right now. So I started it pregnant with my first and then finished it pregnant with my second.
That's so special.
Wow.
Yep. Oh my gosh.
Yeah. Were you aware of the like online consensus around the pregnancy trope, specifically accidental pregnancy? Because a lot of people don't like it. Not us, we've always
we
loved do. It.
We love the pregnancy trope. Big pregnancy girlies here.
But a lot of people don't like it. And then I always tell them like, read Ready or Not. And then I've seen so many people like, this is the exception. Like,
yeah. Well, that and Out on a Limb.
Yeah.
Those are the two books that people are like, okay, all right. No, I did not know that everyone hated it. And I thank God. Because I probably would. Well, no, I think I still would have written it, but I would have had more strife while writing it. No, it makes a lot of sense to me. Like the things that people don't like about the trope, I get that, you know, but it almost falls accidentally into that category. It was, that was what needed to happen in order for me to write the story I really wanted to write, which was this rapid period of growth for this woman and how that was able to let in like both her future and her, her love, her ability to love a specific person. And so that was the actual story I wanted to tell. And she had to get accidentally pregnant.
Yeah.
To tell that story. Yeah.
Yes. Ready or Not has an incredible audiobook. Alex Finke narrates it. It's one of our favorite audiobooks of the year. That's how all of us initially read it. Mm-hmm. Can you talk about the process for this particular production?
This is an amazing story. I was so glad that you asked about it. Okay, so my brother-in-law is a talent agent. And I've done so much with Audible that when you are publishing through, you know, trad, like you can choose the audiobook reader, but I was not going to be like in the studio with the audiobook, which was a different experience for me than for how to put this, like my baby and onto audio. I felt like really, how do I have, some more ownership over this process while trusting them to do what they're going to do. And so the answer came to me, let me reach out to my brother-in-law, who's, you know, an agent for the stars, and be like, who do you have? Uh-huh. And so he sent maybe 5 or 6 actors over to me reading the first chapter of the book. And I heard Alex and was like, this is so perfect. Mm-hmm. And it worked out to sign her. And afterward, he was like, okay, she's also from Michigan. And she had just given birth to her first.
Wow.
And so I was like, okay, this is perfect. She recorded it. I was blown away by her skill and her it's really unique. Her reading style is so unique. She's a theater actor, and so I think she just has that, like,
Can tell.
She's got that Broadway stamina. Mm-hmm. She's got the range. She's got humor. I just thought she was, her performance was so good. And then my brother-in-law was like, okay, let's go. Let's have lunch together, the three of us. Like, you should meet. So we did. We sat down, and within, like, 3 minutes, we both discovered that we have the same best friend, like, the, from, yeah, I love the gasp. That's amazing. So we like all went to the University of Michigan together. Oh. And one of her best friends from the University of Michigan is one of my best friends from growing up. And so we were like taking selfies and sending it to our friend Sadie. And it was just like, okay, this, it felt so perfect. I felt like no matter how it's received, the perfect thing has been made for this project, and it's just going to go in the world and be what it is. But I felt like it, like everything had lined up. Like, I was at the optometrist and they did all the different lenses and like, can you see it? Can you see it? Can you see it? And then like it all came crystal clear in front of me.
I love that. I remember when like we were all reading it and, because we had never heard of this narrator before, of Alex before. And so we like looked her up and we were like, oh, she's not really in that many things, but since she's been in Ready or Not, I've noticed her on other audiobooks now, and I'm like, oh my god, her,
here she is. I know. Totally. Yeah, she's doing work. Yeah, well, the Ready or Not was her first ever audiobook.
I love that. She did huge... so, she was amazing.
Yes,
she, the humor translated so well with everything, and like the heartfelt parts as well, which kind of leads to my next question for you, which is that Ready or Not is like a true rom-com. Like, there is so much heart, but there's so much humor in that book too. So can you talk about kind of how you balance those two things, like especially like the more serious parts of the book with Eve's pregnancy journey and all of her emotions about loneliness with it, with the like literal laugh out loud moments that you write in?
Yeah, I think that is certainly like a coping mechanism of mine, trying to understand the world through the prism of humor. And trying to, I don't know, like, humor is like a trampoline. So if you're going to trip and fall on the sidewalk, that hurts a lot more than tripping and falling on a trampoline. but you still trip and fall, I guess. What romance has done for me throughout my life is in my hardest moments, it has given me, a little bounce, like to get up and keep going. And I wanted to do that so much for people who might be in Eve's position, people who are in my position while I was writing it, people who are in Willa's position, like anyone who could come to that book with any thought, especially any difficult thought about pregnancy. I wanted it to be a bounce in their step. And you can do that with beauty, stark beauty, painful beauty. I do that personally with humor. And that was the same for Promise Me Sunshine, my book that is coming out in March. Like, that book is about grieving. I also think it's the funniest book I've ever written. And I wanted that, like, the humor to add a buoyancy to the experience so that the person who is reading it can feel seen, can feel like they actually are processing and working through these big things, and also feel, you know, like that there's candy in it too, that there's dessert at the end of the meal. You know, that feels really important to me as a writer.
There were moments where there were literal tears on my face reading Promise Me Sunshine, and then I would be laughing because the next page was so good.
I don't know why. The moment that sticks out to me the most in Ready or Not, like that I can vividly remember, like laughing at, like, I have my headphones in, and then all of a sudden my husband hears me laughing like an idiot, and he's like, what are you laughing at? Is when Eve is, this isn't a spoiler really, it's just a line, Eve is talking about her Kindle, how it chugs Gatorade every time.
I was just doing that part. Yes. I have that part in my book journal page because I thought that was so fucking funny.
Yeah,
I remember I was walking up the stairs and I heard that and I had to like pause because it was great.
Also, Alex's delivery on this specific line when Shep gets a haircut and Eve notices for the first time in the theater. And I don't know, I think it's just her delivery about it. She was like, does your haircut mean you love me? I don't know why that made me laugh so hard. It was so funny.
Yeah, there's a lot of, I would say, like, relatable nonsense in this book where it's like, yeah, there's no reason for that to make sense, really. But there's something, especially in Alex's delivery, that, like, it's for the people. It's like, mm-hmm, they're going to get it. They're going to get it.
Yeah. So now we're kind of getting into spoiler territory, by the way. So if you have not listened to Ready or Not, then go read it, come back and listen. But can you kind of walk us through Willa's journey in this book? Many readers, and I think a lot of us included, we kind of had to go through our own journey with Willa, because we were like, what's going on? Like, why is she not being super supportive at times? It felt like that. So can you talk about how you went about creating space for her in the story?
Absolutely. I felt that was one of the very most important components to have in this story, which, you know, one of my journeys as I've grown up is pretty much every time I've had what felt like ecstatically good news, there are people that I share it with and I don't get ecstasy in return. Yeah. You know, I get something complicated because, of course, like, people bring their whole lives in a backpack on their backs into every single room they go into. And I felt that most potently, I think, around pregnancy. And it's this balance. Friendship is this balance of, okay, what do I need? And what can you give me? And what can I give you? And what do you need? And it's not always like, here we are meeting perfectly in the middle of what I can give and what you need, you know, especially as you, I guess, age, or things happen to you, like getting married or having kids or breaking up or having an illness or having a parent die or all of these things that complicate the flavor of the relationship, and the answers that once were chocolate or vanilla are, you know, lentil soup. And it's like, what is this? You know, it's not what I thought was going to happen. But I really wanted Willa to be valid, and I wanted her to be complicated but not ugly, I guess, where her love is very palpable, but what she can give, there's a limit to it. And like, loving unconditionally doesn't mean stabbing your own self through the heart, you know, like, she is trying to also take care of herself in those moments, and with grace sometimes and not with grace other times. And yeah, pregnancy is really a fraught topic, and it can be really painful for lots of people for all different reasons. And I just felt that it deserved nuance, and Willa's journey, I think, was the biggest way that it got that nuance in the story.
Yeah. I think of the moment a lot where, like, you're at the, towards the end where Eve is about to go to, I think it's like a pregnancy class. And originally Willa was like, yeah, like, I'll go with you. And then, like, she says, like, no, I can't. And at first I was like expecting it to happen. And then when it didn't, I was like, why was I expecting that? Like, why would I want her? Like, I wouldn't want my best friend to go through that type of pain. Like, that was like a really, like, eye opening moment for me to be like, okay, yeah, like, she needed to take that space for herself. And I'm glad that, like, even Eve had that realization of, like, all right, yeah, like, this doesn't mean you don't love me and support me through this. Like, you just need to, like, take care of yourself.
Absolutely. And I, you know, there really is no love story between Eve and Shep without Willa taking care of herself that way. You know, like, Willa was the person who was taking care of Eve throughout her life. And it all, I think that was like one of the other big things that I wanted to be in there. You know, the whole, the triteism, one door closes and the other window opens or whatever it is. Like, but I have found that to be true in my life. And it's like, yeah, is this a bad thing, or is this an opportunity in sheep's clothing, and what can happen because this thing has happened?
Yeah. I reread Ready or Not earlier this month, and it was honestly a moment of self-reflection for me with how much more grace I had for Willa on my second reread.
Oh, and interesting.
It got me, like, It was like a truly a moment where I like paused the audiobook and I was like, I was so hard on her for my first read of Ready or Not until the end. And that was like, I don't know, it was a really interesting experience to be like having a full understanding of Willa from the beginning, and yeah, how much more grace I was able to have for her in the book.
Totally. Actually, I did the same thing. I reread Ready or Not recently, and I thought to myself, like, speaking about the humor, I don't even know how much Willa knew that Eve was having a hard time. I think, you know, Eve is funny and was trying to make it seem like things were okay. So I had even more sympathy for Willa, and I wrote it, but like, yeah. I found that there was more there on a subsequent read.
I love that we all recently reread it, because I reread it last week.
Brandy, oh wow!
Brandy read it the week before, and then Kendra
read it like 2 months ago.
Read it just removed. Yeah, so
It's a very rereadable book. Like there's just always more that you can get from it, which I love.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, mm-hmm. And all the jokes still land every time, which is like
I know. So even when you're expecting them, I'm like already smiling. I'm like,
so good. Yeah, we love Eve's brothers. And one thing that I noticed in Ready or Not and in the second book in your first series and even in Love at First Psych, there's always this like age gap between the siblings. And I have that with my siblings. Like I was an oopsie baby on my on my dad's side. Oh, my God. My oldest brother is like in his 40s and I'm in my 20s. So like there's a significant gap.
Yeah.
But I love that you I just love that that's always something that's reoccurring in your work. Like, why do you think that's an important dynamic for you to showcase? And why was it important for Eve to have that type of relationship in her life?
I will say that I think that it is subconscious to a certain extent, just because it is in my life too. I was not an oops baby, but there was like, I have a lot of siblings. So there was just like pretty slow and steady from my parents, but my oldest brother is a lot older than I am. And because of that, I had a lot of different people raise me and at the same time. And I also, have a lot of intergenerational friendships as well. And I'm very close to my aunts. And I think that I kind of can't imagine growing up without all these different perspectives from people at different points in their life. And, you know, there are just different wisdoms to be had from different stages of life. And they're all very valid. And I want to be able to include those in my stories. I also, I gravitate toward big families and, you know, big found families too. But particularly brothers, I have three brothers from my family, and then I have three brothers from John's family, and then there's brothers-in-law from our various people who are married to various people. So like I just have a lot of that energy in my life. And I just, particularly for Eve, I just felt she needed that. I just felt like there's a thing that happens when talking to your brother that doesn't, for me, happen on almost any other circumstance except with maybe one or two friends. And yeah, she needed that unconditional love that's laced with teasing, and also like, hey, you'll be fine. Like, it's terrible, but I think you'll be fine. So I really wanted to have that, especially in Ready or Not.
Love.
So talking more about the romance side of Ready or Not now, if you didn't read the back of the book, which Kendra did not the first time that she read this.
Oh, cool.
She went in totally blind. So someone might assume that it's going to be like a love triangle between like Ethan and Shep, or that Ethan is the only love interest and Ethan is Eve's baby's father, for those who are maybe forgetting names. So can you kind of talk about if that was intentional, or was Ethan ever supposed to be somebody that we were rooting for?
Yeah. So I didn't know who she was going to end up with at the beginning, but I knew I didn't want it to be really a love triangle in the classic sense. I told you I wrote it in this compressed timeline of like, I wrote the first several chapters in the first 2 weeks. So within the first couple of days of writing, I had written the scene. All I knew was that Willa was not going to show up for Eve to tell Ethan. Mm-hmm. And so but I didn't know that Shep was going to show up out of the blue. And so when suddenly he shouts to her across the street, she looks up and he's there. I was like, oh, this motherfucker is in love with her. From there on out, I was like, okay, so it wasn't good. And then I knew I really didn't want it to be a love triangle, because I kind of felt like if there was any chance for her and Ethan, it would slow down her. I think she would have really given it a lot of thought.
And
really thought about, can I make a life with this person? And I wanted to keep that sort of emotional integrity intact for her, but also I didn't want to write that story. So yeah. I had to kind of take Ethan out of the game, but I didn't want him to be a villain.
Yeah.
So I had to keep him in the, I wanted him to be eventually a good father, and I wanted him to be a good co-parent. So how mm-hmm. do you do that and keep him totally out of the game romantically? And that's kind of how his story unfolded. And I was really pleased with the way it did. I felt like he comes across as very believable.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
definitely. And all of your books, including Ready or Not, are slow burns, which I think we all love. It just makes, you know, when they do get together, that much more satisfying. So because that intimacy had been created outside of the bedroom, like I said, it just made it more satisfying. So how do you go about crafting the non-sexual intimacy between your two characters, specifically Evenship?
Yeah. That's what I like to read, really. I love the tension before anything happens. Yeah. I guess it's, you know, classically the will, they won't, they, even though mm-hmm. obviously mm-hmm. they will every single time. But it's kind of the when will they, you know, mm-hmm. That. And I take that very seriously. I think that the, how you fall in love with someone, it usually pretty much only like happens once with that person. And then you build on that love, you know, for however long you're going to do that. But I think that's just a really unique and special time for people. And you learn a lot about yourself during that time. Like, it's not that different from how you might react in a crisis. Like, there's a lot of, like, tension and quick thinking. And you know, you see who you are. Who you are is shown in these moments. All of that is really interesting to me. And I love a good insta-love. I've never been able to convincingly write an insta-love. And I think it's a hike up the mountain. And when you mm-hmm. get to the mountain, the higher you are, the bigger the view, you know? Mm-hmm. And you can look back and maybe even really believe it. And I wanted people to recognize bits of their own love stories in it. I just wanted it to feel like these are two real people, and this is really how they fell in love. It's not just because it's within the two covers of a romance book. It's like, this is actually it. And for me, the recipe there is a slow burn. Even yeah. though not all my books, some of them take place in a really compressed timeline. It could sure. be categorized as insta-love because it's like within mm-hmm. 72 hours or whatever. You know, one of Seatmate is like the bus ride from Boston to yeah. New York. It just yeah. takes 7 hours of listening to
right.
to get the insta-love, right. yeah. but it's there, you know, mm-hmm. yeah.
Do you have a favorite like Evenship moment from the book?
Oh, man. I love the Christmas market. I love them. I love her. I love the... Oh gosh, yeah, I love all of it. The food in the Christmas market, her in his coat on the yeah. train. I just love that moment. I think maybe the moment that really makes like real happiness happen for me is it's after they've sort of gotten together a little bit and she leaves for work and she comes back and he's still there and mm-hmm. he's watered her plants for her.
Yeah.
That was like, all right, this, yeah. I felt like I, at that point, everything else was kind of frosting. Like I had
yeah.
done what I came to do. And then the rest was like a victory lap for this couple, yes. you know?
Kendra and Kayla, what are yours?
Oh, mine. Honestly, a moment that I always think about is when he makes her a Powerpuff Girl. I just thought that was like yeah. really sweet. And like, it was just so like cute and like childlike. And like, I don't know. I think about that all the time. And he was just so excited to show. Like, that took time and effort. And he
right,
did that for
right.
her.
Yeah.
Like, ugh.
Yeah. I already talked about it, but I do love the haircut moment. Like when they're watching Thor
yeah.
one day and then they cut and like go to the movie theater and he's gotten a haircut and she's just like sitting in the theater like
freaking
just
out
thinking about his haircut the yeah. whole time. Yeah, I really love that moment.
I think mine
the bike
is,
too. The bike.
Is mine is the oh. bike, and specifically the line I think it's fine.
I didn't mean to steal it.
The line I think about the most from this book probably is, "What if we break up in a year? Can the baby still ride on your bike?"
Yeah,
I think about that all the fucking time. I love that.
I think one of the things I love so much about watching people fall in love and talking to people who are in the Will They Won't They stage and all that is how transparent it is for everyone on the outside and how opaque it is for the people who are on the inside. Because, mm-hmm. like Eve is sitting in the movie theater being like, does your haircut mean you love me? That is such a nonsense statement. She's like, oh, maybe he does, maybe he doesn't. Meanwhile, he's like giving her a hand massage. Yeah. She's baking her bread.
So
like,
obvious.
Oh my God, yeah. Come on. Yeah. Oh my God. But I just think that's such an interesting thing. It doesn't really happen in almost any other circumstance in your life when you just like can't make 1 + 1 = 2. You're like, no, yeah. I'm pretty sure 1 + 1 = 50 because yeah. how could he love me? You know, but mm-hmm. yeah. there it is. Yeah.
And I love like so Shep is like, as you see on Instagram, like perfect boyfriend. And like, I would describe him as that. But I also always think of the moment when Ethan comes over drunk. And
it's
like, oh, well, yeah. And you kind of see like Shep is more than just like this, like, I mean, he's a nice guy through and through, but like, he's like, you got the love of my life pregnant. Like, this yeah. is not easy for me. Like, is, I just yeah. love that. Cause it just made him feel like 10 times more real. Like, of course he's having like all these like complicated emotions around the situation. Like, oh, that was just yeah. so good.
Oh, when he tells Eve, like, I'm not doing this because I'm just like a great person doing it yeah. because I love you. Like,
I really wanted to model that in Shep because just this idea of like your moods are not your partner's responsibility. He has this big interiority. He's really working through all of these problems, but at no point was he going to make his like pettier feelings going to be mm-hmm. something that she had to deal with. Certainly not while she was pregnant. And if he couldn't understand that, i.e. Ethan, yeah. then he wasn't the right partner for her at that moment. And I really felt it was important that he would understand that. And you get to see glimpses of it in there yeah. towards the end. Yeah.
Yeah. Will we ever get an Ethan book? I mean, we all love Shep, love him. But, you know, Ethan is, we just have thoughts about him and we love a good single dad. even like a little short story, like a little update, yeah. a newsletter update, something, you know?
Okay, here's what I'll say. There are 4 books for this contract. So
okay.
there's Ready or Not, mm-hmm. Promise Me Sunshine. Mm-hmm. There's a third, tentatively, mm-hmm. well, we don't really have the title yet, that is done in the first, yeah. And then yep. I have planned the 4th. I will tell okay. you this. The only reason they're all connected is because Ethan is the only character that's in all of them.
Yeah. Okay. I'll take it.
That is such great news. Okay. And our final Ready or Not question is just how much has this book changed over the course of like you told us about the first time you thought of the idea, your beginning of writing it to where it is now out in the world, your perfect little baby.
Yeah, it's changed a lot. And the spirit of it remains the same. Really, like what I set out to do, it surprised me the way it manifested, but it's there. It's what I hoped it would be, really, and more. But I wrote the first draft without an editor. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I say this in the acknowledgments of Promise Me Sunshine, but it's like, I am the person who goes to the grocery store and gets all the ingredients, and I know exactly what's going to taste good with what, and I put it all into a grocery bag. And then my editor is the reason the reader isn't eating those groceries like on the floor with a plastic spoon. Like, my editor is the one who sets the table and helps me cook the meal, you know? And I wrote that book in moments, really. I knew that there were these moments that they had, that I felt so clearly and I wanted them to have, and how to get from moment to moment with a narrator like Eve, who is just thinking whatever she's going to think when she's thinking it. And there isn't like a, this, there's not really an A, then B, then C, then D with, mm-hmm. with her. With how she lives her life, and thus there wasn't really with the book either. And my editor, she cut some scenes, she stitched certain ones together. We moved, you know, this chapter, we had to move it here, and then you have to like take all the little threads and move them back to the other, you know, all of these mm-hmm. things. And it's a patchwork quilt of a dream mm-hmm. of many people that all helped mm-hmm. me write this book, you know. And if you read the first draft of it, you'd be like, yeah, it's great. It's there. But mm-hmm. you would also feel like it needed to have its teeth flossed. and it did. And it took a lot of work, but it really, really paid off in the end, I feel.
Absolutely.
You know, something I'll say about this book too is, so I've been with my husband. We've been married now for 6 years. We've been together for almost a decade. And I still don't know. I have zero idea if I ever want to have kids, when I want to have kids. You know, it's always been like a scary thought for me, to be honest. And I still don't know. But I will say that, like, I think Ready or Not for a lot of people makes it seem a lot less scary. Because, like, you talked about how, you know, when you got pregnant with your partner, like, you had the support already. You know, you were not in the same position that Eve is in. And I would be the same way. I'm not in the same position. I have the support. But, like, I think that this book, to me, shows, like, it is scary. But, you know, that's okay. Like, you can make it through that. And I love, that's what I love, I think, the most about this book is how realistic it shows pregnancy and the not the glamorous sides of things, you know, the scary sides of things, the great sides of things, like when the baby first kicks, you know, just fun moments that happen along the way. And so I thank you for that, I guess.
Oh, yes. That fills me up with so much joy. I mean, that was my goal in writing it, is to have people read it and feel that way.
Well, now that we've finished, we do have time for a little game if you are up for it.
I am.
It's just a little superlative game. I don't know if you were able to look at, we tried to put these in like last minute, so you hopefully wouldn't see them, but if you have, that's okay.
Okay.
So we're just going to name a superlative and you can assign a character to the superlative. We're going to go with Love Lines, Ready or Not, and you could do Promise Me Sunshine as well. Just to kind of help, like, tease a little bit of those characters so you get people excited about it. So,
yeah. Okay.
All right, first one. Who is most likely to win a Nobel Peace Prize?
Okay, I'm going to go with Marigold from Love at First Sight because she's, like, the only, like, studious character I've ever really written. Yeah. So, yeah, probably.
She would work super hard and, like, earn it. Oh, my gosh.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Love that.
Who is most likely to write a best-selling romance novel?
Oh, well, Robbie from Love at First Sight, definitely. Yeah. Yes. He is, like, a huge romantic. Like, what a cheeseball.
Yeah. Oh, I love that so much. Who is most likely to have a viral TikTok account or TikTok video?
Okay. I think it's probably Ethan because I think he's really hot.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. What do you think it would be?
Dog bar content.
Okay, yeah. That's what I was like. Hot guy
behind the bar. Has the baby strapped to his chest making up.
Yes. Right?
baby at the bar making up. That's not okay, but yeah, that'd be funny.
That's hilarious. Yeah. All right, who's most likely to kill it at a karaoke and what song are they singing?
Okay. Oh man. Well, I think it's Lenny from Promise Me Sunshine. Are we doing Promise Me Sunshine?
Yeah.
Yes. Okay. Yes. Yes.
All right. Lenny from Promise Me Sunshine. Probably Kiss by Prince.
Hell okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's fun.
I love that.
Oh, I love that. I can actually envision that right now. It's happening. Miles watching. Okay. Who is most likely to win Survivor?
Oh, Willa.
Who is most likely to have their own Bookstagram account?
Oh my god. Who? Mm-hmm. Oh, probably Vera, I think, from Call Me Maybe.
Yeah.
It's probably a joint Bookstagram account because I'm pretty sure she wouldn't know how to run a Bookstagram account.
That's so cute.
So I think Cal,
he's doing all the legwork. Yeah. She's like, post about this one. He's like, hey.
Yeah. She would like put, she could like, you know, pose the picture and all that. She'd do the photos, but that's I think probably it.
He'd love helping her too.
I know.
Yeah. All right. Who's most likely to help you bury a body?
Well, I think Willa. I think Willa would, she's loyal, and I think she would also know how to do it.
Yep. And Ethan would be like, how do you know that actually?
Shep would try. He would really try, but I don't think in the end burying bodies is,
his forte.
Who is most likely to give a TED Talk, and what would the TED Talk be about?
Oh, God. Oh, man. I have no idea. I have absolutely no idea. That's fair. Are any of my characters experts on anything? Now well, that I think about
I would
it?
Say Miles would give a really good TED talk about a specific thing. I won't say, but I think he would. I think he would kill. I don't know if he would get up on the stage.
Yeah,
he would give a TED talk to Lenny personally. And be like, here's this.
I think it would be very boring. I don't think there'd be a lot of like intrigue.
Do you think that Eve could give one on conservation?
Oh, yes. Yes, absolutely. Definitely. And she'd be funny. She'd probably. Yeah. That's a great answer. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. And lastly, most likely to be the final person in a horror film.
Okay. So here's my question. I'm not a horror person. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. What does that mean? Is it like what are the.
Like you survived. Like you're the only one that survived.
Typically the person who survives is a little bit of everything. Like they're not the jock, they're not the nerd, they're not the brains.
Yeah. Okay.
So they're like a little bit of everything and they're very scrappy.
Okay, so then I think it would have to be Jessie from Sweet Talk, who is like she's very competence is really her thing, and she's not scared. I don't think she would be scared for any of it at any point. Yeah,
and she wouldn't follow people's bullshit. They'd be like, let's split up, and she'd be like, no,
yes,
let's not do that.
Yeah. Love. Okay, so before we go, which one of your books should readers pick up if they just finished Ready or Not and they're waiting for Promise Me Sunshine to come out and they just want more of your work?
Well, honestly, any of them, but I would say if you want more like Ready or Not, my Forever Yours series from HQN is maybe Flirting with Forever that's the one about a public defender. There's age gap.
He's just the best guy. Like he was so sweet.
I know. I love him. I love him. I really like, he's maybe my only character that I had like an actual crush on. I was blushing while
reading. Yeah, he was, and so yeah, sweet. when they hook up too, I was like, oh, okay.
Yeah, I know. So I interviewed for that one. I interviewed a good friend who is a public defender, or was at the time, about that book, and I found out like a year ago that he was like, yeah, of course I read it. You interviewed me to be able to write this book, and I was just like, Oh, God.
Oh no!
Contact with me. Look away. Look away.
That was not for you.
So funny.
Yeah. Not for you.
That's hilarious.
Oh my gosh.
And we have all read "Promise Me Sunshine." We are just so blown away. All of us, definitely one of our top books of the year. So good.
Oh, it's so great.
So good. What can you tell our listeners about "Promise Me Sunshine" at this point?
Okay. And I mean, you know, it's out in the world, really. The ARC copies are churning up a storm out there. Okay. So I wrote that book about grief, about losing a friend. And I wanted it to be an accurate representation of the confusion and the tornado that grief is and, you know, nonlinear healing and all that. I really wanted it to what it would mean to fall in love with someone. It's very similar to my personal romance with my husband. We fell in love while I was going through like a really, really terrible time. And I thought to myself, how could anyone ever love this absolute mess? But you're in there, you know, like even in the mess of that grief, like who you are is in there. And it can be very lovable. It can be very like tender and emotional time where you kind of find out who you are. And so, Ready or Not was falling in love through bringing someone into the world, and Promise Me Sunshine is falling in love through saying goodbye to someone who's died.
I've got, like, chills.
Yeah, I'm gonna cry, actually.
Yeah.
I didn't know I was going to be writing book three and book four when I wrote Promise Me Sunshine, and so I really wanted it to feel like bookends, Ready or Not and Promise Me Sunshine. And there is, you know, it goes on, but I do think they are kind of two that are in conversation with each other about these huge life events and how to be loved during those events.
Yeah.
Yeah, I love that.
That book was just incredible. Like, oh my
definitely.
Gosh.
There's a group chat that we're in that is devoted specifically to just sending quotes that we can't stop thinking about.
Yeah.
Yeah.
To the group chat.
Oh, man.
It's so good.
yeah, for those that are listening and would like to read it early, like Kara said, there are art copies out there on NetGalley. You can request it. So go request it if you want to read it. So
good. Definitely. Yeah, and there will be a couple more giveaways through my Instagram too for the physical copies, like the galley copies. And then it's out on March 4th. So it's not for right now, it seems
too
like
far.
Forever.
Yeah.
I know, but
yeah,
I really
it's gonna be
can't
here
wait.
Just like that. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But yes, it'll be here just like that, and I can't wait. I can't wait to have them on the shelf together.
Yeah. Same. Oh my gosh.
And oh my god, by the way, your covers are like gorgeous.
I know. I cannot take credit for that at all. That is my publisher and the artist. Can you believe what she does with light? It's just like they glow.
It's insane. Yeah.
It's gorgeous. Yeah. Love her.
Kara, thank you so much for joining us today. This was truly just like the best discussion. We've been so giddy about having you on the podcast because Ready or Not really changed the trajectory of like all three of our reading years this year.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. So it's just been such a pleasure.
Well, thank you so much for having me. It was a joy to talk to you and anytime, like truly anytime.
Well, that's good to know because we're hoping that you might come back around the time. Promise me sunshine.
Let's do it. I can't wait.
We will not truly. We will have so much to say. And like Brandy said, like you changed our reading years like for the better. Like I think we've all. I'm just very glad that you're in romance.
Yeah.
I'm all about like giving people their flowers and like your work has just been so incredible. Like to me, like you quickly become one of my favorite authors. Like I love what you do. I read the snippet of what's going to be after Promise Me Sunshine and I haven't like shut the fuck up about that. I'm like, doing that? Like, I'm like, what is going on? But yeah, I think you're an incredible writer and I'm so glad that you're here and you're doing what you're doing. And I think everyone should just read more of you because you're incredible.
Well, thank you so much. I so appreciate it. And you know, it's a solitary experience writing. And so then when you put it out in the world to get even like 1/10 of what you three have given me, you'd be grateful for that, you know, and it just, it's such a positive experience, but you've made me feel so happy and proud. So thank you.
You're so welcome. And thank you. So
to those of you who are looking to read Kara's books, you can find them on Audible. And especially obviously the Audible originals. Promise Me Sunshine comes out March 4th, 2025. So make sure you pick it up as soon as possible. If you have not read Ready or Not and you're a listener to our podcast, what are you doing here?
Amazing. Thanks, Kara.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on unlimited welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on unlimited welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply. For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on unlimited welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on unlimited welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply.